La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got light blue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
Chris, what's happening?
Oh, there we are.
God damn it, Chris. What's that?
We're live. We're on the.
We're live.
We're on YouTube.
But they can. Can you turn the music down? Oh, there we are. This feels good. This feels like, really good.
Does it?
Wait, okay. Where's Chris now? We can't see Chris. There's Chris.
I'm here.
Oh, this looks good. Anyway, hello and welcome to what we are now calling the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, known on the motherfucking streets as the goddamn Dave Hill Show and Dave Hill's podcasting incident combined. But we're getting a new logo, and it's going to say the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, and it's the great Danny Hellman is doing it. I was going to surprise everyone, but I figure instead I'll build up anticipation. Hi, how are you, everybody? Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking this first step towards internet greatness. I don't know where to look on this new slick setup. We're using Zoom now. It's a new.
If you just look directly into the camera.
It's a new app. Zoom is a new app. You'll be hearing about it. And I like Dave Hill's composting incident. That's better. That tells more of a story, I think, doesn't it?
You guys ever compost?
I have compost.
Oh, yeah.
Out here in the country. I got piles of it.
My dad was composting back in the 70s.
Whoa, old school.
Yeah. Ahead just taking time. Stuff. Yeah, he was composting, jogging, doing yoga. Whatever it was. Whatever countercultural thing there was, he was doing it. I'm displaying my Danzig port. I need to find out the name of the artist who did this. I won't shut up about it every week.
Where, someone sent that to you? Where'd you get
it? Yeah, it's an artist in Chicago. Sent it to me at the request of my friend Kevin McComb. It's Danzig in repose. He's scantily clad. He has the Danzig skull on his crotch, I guess you'd say, covering his Danzig junk. But I would argue that Danzig's junk probably does look a bit like the same, doesn't, as the
skull.
Like a skull. He probably has one of those. Well, I shouldn't get into it. I shouldn't speculate on Danzig's junk. It's a classy show that we have, and the people deserve better. And anyway, we're just getting used to this futuristic format where that's only on YouTube.
Yeah. It's a little jarring.
It's jarring.
I'm used to seeing three different windows on my screen so I can follow all the chats.
Yeah, well. And people are like, what's the phone? What is the phone number? People want to call in 347 4
474-0260.
347-474-0260. That's 347-474-0260. I have sexy lighting that I can do this to. I think a lot of people are noticing. That's 347-474-0260. And let us know if this new format is jarring. People are like, where's Lucy? We're going to figure that out. The actual live Lucy is not far from me right now, but she's kind of, this is in her, it's her bedtime hour. I got to be honest. I started talking about this before I gave out the phone number of 347-474-0260. But earlier today, as I plot my return back to New York City, I am still here plotting.
Noticed that.
Northeastern Ohio. And though I am plotting, cars have been rented, a lot happening.
Yeah.
But there's this place called Mr. Chicken here in Ohio. And there was a location very near to where this isn't a candy corn sweater. You know what? Why am I fighting it? It is a candy corn sweater. It is a Vancouver Canucks 80s V sweater that's like 100% polyester that I got on the internet. And it feels about as good as I think I paid. What did I pay for it? Probably like $50. It feels like I paid $20. Anyway, but there's this place called Mr. Chicken, and they went out of business. If you can imagine, you could be in business with the name Mr. Chicken, and your business would be threatened by anything at any point. I couldn't believe it either. But my girlfriend and I went to Mr. Chicken. And we went through the drive-thru, and they said, this is our last day doing business. We're done.
Oh, no.
And we were like, oh, my God, that's horrible. And she's like, yeah, we've been here 34 years, and we're closing after today. But then she said, but go to our new Willoughby location, which is like, I don't know. It's like
that's
another
in the Twilight Zone, I believe.
Or maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't even know where we were today. Anyway, so we're driving down the street in this other town today, and we see Mr. Chicken, and she's like, let's go to Mr. Chicken. And I'm like, no, remember how we went that other time and it was disgusting? but then once you see the Mr. Chicken logo, which isn't even, you'd think the opportunity to have an amazing logo when your business is called Mr. Chicken. What do they do? What do you guys think the Mr. Chicken logo is?
He's wearing a hat.
Yeah.
Hat?
No. There's no chicken. It just says Mr. Chicken. It's the laziest logo. It's not a logo. It just says Mr. Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, you pulled it up?
Yeah.
Can you share your screen so the people can see,
let's see
the Mr. Chicken logo?
I might not be quite ready for that.
V Frankie Flying V says a chicken with a top hat and a monocle. Yeah. A classy
monocle, I was thinking.
Successful.
Something.
A billionaire, or it could be like chicken.
It could be like a guy who just really likes chicken and he's just calling himself Mr. Chicken.
Mr. Chicken.
You know, like that guy who eats a lot of chicken, Mr. Chicken over there.
However you want to look at it, you would think, hey, get a cool logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
that's
if I
what
can
I think.
This.
You can't, if you should or if you can share.
I don't know if I can. It says if I start the share screen, it will stop others' computer sound share.
Oh.
To continue.
It'll cut the music. I think that's fine. I really want to see this logo.
Mike V says, yeah, that's Mr. Chicken. Can people see that?
Let me see if I can zoom it in.
I think the people deserve a larger Mr. Chicken.
I wasn't ready to go live. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
Look at that. Mr. Chicken For people just listening to the podcast form, we're looking at a Mr. Chicken franchise. This one, I have to say, looks a lot nicer than the one that I went to. It has yellow flags. I don't know what that means. Hot oven fresh baked biscuits. And then it just says Mr. Chicken. There's no chicken with a monocle and top hat.
That's pretty clearly a McDonald's that closed down and became a Mr. Chicken, too.
It is that kind of place.
Look at the...
it is like a lot of Mr. Chickens have like a bell hanging in the middle of them. Things like that.
7-Eleven next door over there, too. You can get all in one.
Oh, yeah.
Shopping.
Yeah. It's Phil Dolan asked, just tuned in, is this Tendy related? I think it is. It is Tendy related. I'll tell you why. So what happened at Mr. Chicken, they lured us basically with a big sign. This is how they get you. Mm-hmm. Said 10 chicken tenders for $10. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we should not do that. Right? So Evan Gray says yellow flag means medium hazard. I think when I it's a bigger hazard, but basically, so I get us to the drive-through, and I say, we get two orders of the 10 chicken tenders. I figured when in Rome, right? Let's get 20 chicken tenders for $20. We'll be set. For years.
Yeah.
And we get that. So she's like, no, we can't. That's you crazy. We can't. So we just got the one. So I was just like, just one box of chicken tenders, I guess. And then I said, and a large fry. And then my girlfriend says, why did you order fries? And I said, because I want fries. Biggest fight we've ever had.
Damn adult.
Huge. Yeah, it was like, what possible other reason would I have for ordering French fries other than that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Anyway, so...
Tense out there in Ohio, sounds like.
Oh, it's so tense.
Time to get back.
As if there aren't enough problems in the world, we're coming to blows over...
fries.
A fry order.
Comfort food.
But I ate this food. I don't eat food like that often. And I'm a walking time bomb. I'm a sitting time bomb, basically. And
are
I'm
like, are they like espresso. Breaded? Were they breaded chicken tenders?
Yeah, they were just, you know, like when you eat certain foods and you're like, I need to cancel all things. And I just need to sit down and be ashamed of who I am. For the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of food.
Instant regret.
Yeah, it was not good. Anyway, the number here is 347-474-0260. Do we have any hot calls on the line?
Do you have a call here? Hold on a second.
I have a feeling I know who it is.
Elvira has replaced Ding Dave. Clearly.
Elvira. Ding Dave Elvira in Minneapolis.
Hey Dave, hey gang, how you find folks holding up this week?
Oh, so good.
We're great.
Oh,
so good.
Well, we're into a new season, and we also have a new cult of the month.
There's a new cult of the month.
We'll be able to tune in on this one.
What is the
cult? It's the coven of the Angel Witch.
I'm listening.
Well, you know, with Cult of the Month, we have our concept of original membership, which means that every being in the multiverse, both real and imagined, is already a member of Cult of the Month. So, by enrolling everybody into the Cult of the Month, then we're making everybody an Angel Witch.
I will allow it. I can't stop it either, though, to be fair.
Does that mean I'm an Angel Witch?
Well, You're an angel witch.
Sick. I like this cult. Now, how many people, and this isn't me trying to poke holes in anything, but these cults you speak of, how many people are aware of them other than you prior to you calling and telling us? Are there legions?
Well, there's a few hundred on Facebook. There's a Facebook group.
So you're telling me there's a...
Yeah, well, I'm following my uncle's model. He started a church in the early 20th century called Psychiana, and he wouldn't teach it to anybody within 100 miles of him just because he didn't want to have any worshippers in person, because those people kind of...
How do you get the sex then?
Oh, I have a hot wife. I have a beautiful redhead witch of a wife.
No, not you personally. I'm talking about your uncle. Your uncle who started the cult.
Well, he was also happily married, and he was also a musician. He had a pipe organ installed in his house.
Oh, I bet he did.
He had a nice German car that he would drive around in, and that gave him joy.
All right.
Was the car in the house?
Okay, I just wanted to give a suggestion on the subject of food earlier, and a great way of fighting racism is international food. If you ever have anybody that has a particular problem with a particular race, give them a food of that race and see how long their hatred holds up.
Hmm.
I think that's a good tactic. I like that tactic.
It's worked miracles for me. And also, I want to thank you for having Jonah Ray on last week. That was it was nice to see him. I got to work the MST3K reunion show, which is also the State Theater where you and I worked together.
Oh, and nice! Over there in Minneapolis. We met there at I was doing live from here. When was that? That was like...
Was it about a year ago?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was a year ago, it was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
It was March of 2019.
Okay. Yeah, that was a fun time.
It was wild.
I hope that show reforms in some new way, because I heard that it, along with a bunch of other shows, got canceled.
Yeah.
But there is now a new void for you to come in and swoop in.
That's where I strike with my likability.
Well, as a founding member of the Coven of the Angel Witch, you get to choose a title of whatever you want. Actually, anybody within the church who recognizes the church gets to choose a title, so... Feel free to do that for your...
Can it just be Angel Witch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Another good one, too.
All right. Well, thank you, Elvira. What's that?
The Ka. So we call it the Coven of the Angel Witch and challenge you to answer the Ka.
All right. I can go with that.
We'll look into it.
Have fun. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Elvira. Keep up the good work. You know, the weird thing is, as long as Angel Witch has, I feel that you would think the band Angel Witch would get in touch.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually. I think I wrote to them once. You would think they'd be tripping over themselves.
The guy who gets the royalties still alive? Or has that passed
They're out? Still playing live. They're not that old. I mean, they're probably in their 60s, I'm guessing.
Wow. When did that song come out?
78?
Is it? No, later than that, isn't it? Let's run a check on that. I think 80s. You would think I would have the answers. As America's foremost authority on Angel Witch... What is that, jazz?
It's Afrobeat.
Ooh.
1980.
Okay. 1980. Yep.
1980. Wow.
40 years now.
Dun, 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 dun. Our guest tonight is our dear friend Shanali Bomek. She's going to be joining us momentarily for all sorts of hot chatter.
Can't wait.
I can't wait.
She's not here yet, but she will be here soon.
She will be. The odds are good.
I would think
so. Can you turn the music down a little bit before I freak out?
Yeah, sorry. I can barely hear it on my end, so.
Asshole.
Go down about a third.
There we go.
Is that better?
The number here is 347-474-0260. That's 347-474-0260. Feels good just to say the number. Dave, will you be watching the debate tomorrow? Nikki Hislop asks. I am going to watch the debate. I'm conflicted about watching the debate because, as anyone who knows anything, follows anything that I do, you know, social media or whatever, I hate to talk about politics. Hate to say what my views are. But, I cannot stand the sight, sound, or anything of that fucking orange piece of there she is. I was just anyway, I don't know if I can stand watching Donald Trump talk, but I'm
it's pretty bad, especially with the revelation that literally every person in the country pays more in income tax than he does.
It's the thing is, his supporters are going to,
that's a badge of honor. That's a,
they just go like, it's Dave. It's because he's so good at business. He knows how to like just report it all as a loss because he's so good at it. What about all the rapes? He's so good at sex. he's great at sex. That's why he gets accused of rape by multiple women.
It's like a really heavy drug.
He's so good.
If you take too much of it too soon, it's gonna fuck you all up. But if you just a little taste.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on with the rest of your day. I don't know.
But I wonder what they would say if they found out Obama paid $750 the first year he was president.
I mean,
they would have been irritated.
Don't have to wonder much.
A one and a two says that he or she cannot stand them both. And I understand some people don't like Joe Biden, but on whatever day this is, September 28th, we have two choices, not three, not four. So, that's how it goes this year. So, you got to pick one of them. So,
Nicola.
There. I know people don't like that. Someone was arguing with me on the internet. I love arguing on the internet. You know, saying, well, I vote Green Party. And I think that's great. In theory, but it's not going to help. It's not going to do anything for you right now. Get to work on that November 4th. That's my advice. What am I, a political expert? Yeah.
Did you get your absentee ballot, Dave?
I have not received it yet. I have concerns that I've not received it yet. But if I don't receive it, I'm planning on going back to New York before the election anyway. So. I'll just go vote in person if I have to.
Not allowed.
And I know some people say, well, it doesn't matter in New York, but, I think, it's our duty as people to do it. Yeah. And yes, like I know as people go like, oh, fuck this. I hate the two party system. 1000%. I think the whole system in America is super fucked. But we can't change it before this election, so you might as well vote for Joe Biden, and then we can all start screaming after this election.
Yeah, as soon as Biden gets inaugurated, we can all go back to making fun of a man who's in over his head. But
we can just flip out.
Yeah,
we can just. But that's just my opinion. I know people always get mad at me when I say that. I know a one and a two says they're not earning the Green Party voters' vote, though. They're not earning the Green Party voters' vote, but they should, because I think if you are a progressive, then you just vote for the most progressive candidate, even if that candidate is not, obviously in this case, that progressive. Mm-hmm. The only way to make any progress is to, because if you vote Green Party, you're just voting for Trump. So there. Anyway, let me get back to dick jokes.
Our guest is backstage whenever.
Let's bring our guest on. She's way smarter than I am. This is the thing. I come at it from the mind of a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And I just do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Smith sums it up best. Vote Biden, then go back to overthrowing the government.
Yes.
That's basically where I'm coming from.
Right.
And he just articulated that far better than I could, because I am full of Mr. Chicken right now. So there. A 1 and a 2, and not to argue, that's not how voting works, though. It does. Unfortunately, right now, that's exactly how it works. Yeah. If you vote Green Party in this election, you're throwing your vote away. It's just the reality. I know there's, you know, it says one party dictatorship, two wings of the same party. We need to get rid of Trump unless you love Handmaid's Tale so much you want to live it.
That's the pressing issue now.
That's you know, whatever.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
All right, Adam, Maximum Fun wants us to record like a promo to tell people that they should listen to The Greatest Generation. You want to do that?
No, I am tired of all the extra work. I just wanted to talk about Star Trek with my friend.
I think it would be good to like try and get some new listeners by appealing to the audiences of other shows. Like, this will only take a minute or two. It could be good for us.
We sit down for an hour every week and talk about a Star Trek episode and make a bunch of idiotic fart jokes about it. It's embarrassing. If it got out that we made this show, I think it would make us unemployable.
Adam, I have bad news for you. We have tens of thousands of listeners at MaximumFun.org.
Oh my god. I think I'm going to throw up.
The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
I'm really going to be sick.
Let's bring someone smarter than I am. Our dear friend, Shanali Bomek.
Shanali, are you there?
Is she there?
Here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear. We can't see. Oh, I know. I'm looking in the wrong. My problem is I started watching it on YouTube, which is not synced up with this at all. Shanali, may I be the first to say, did you get a new hairstyle? Or did you get your hair done, I should say?
I chopped it. And it's freshly washed. This is the natural look, Dave.
I love it.
Looks great.
Thank you. So I can do this, or I can blow it out and have the straight, you know, the straight hair look that was so chic for, you know, a decade. But I'm bringing back my curly hair. So you like it?
Yeah.
I love it. Let's.
Thank you.
Got it's some good body.
It took a lot to just do it, you know. I just can't. I still don't have like the guts to go get my hair cut and sit in a chair in a salon. I'm sure there's lots of great salons out there, and they're having some sort of socially distant hair cutting process. I don't know how you do it, but couldn't do it. So this is the end result.
Me too. I'm not ready to go. I was just talking to a friend and he was talking about like, oh, New York restaurants are opening. Like, when you get back to New York, let's just go eat out. I'm like, no fucking way.
Man.
I'm not being part of that experiment.
No,
I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to scare anyone. Go for it. But I'm not, I don't.
I mean, why? We can order food. We can, here we can still go outside and eat at every restaurant outside.
Yeah, and you can buy really good food and eat it at home. You can cook food.
Yeah.
You can luxuriate in flow, like, nice sexy robes. I'm not saying you. I'm saying everybody. I'm sure you can. I just don't want you to think that I was like telling you what you get up to. I'm just saying get up to.
This is me too. I mean, like, we're gonna have made it this far being very diligent, and then just at the last minute cave in to a guy who wants to have lunch in a restaurant in New York. Like, and perhaps what if you did get COVID in that instant? Like, what would that be worth? Like, why?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think it's great in that, like, restaurants staying doing better and staying open.
Yeah.
And supporting the restaurants and all that. But yeah, like, the idea of, like, we're just going to open it up to, like, 25%, because if we do more than that, someone might die. Like, or maybe not someone dies. Someone might get a disease that might end up killing someone else. Like,
yeah.
You know what? I'll just stay home and I'll have a cheese plate. I'll get some wine. I'll have a cheese plate.
I love you, this, your showbiz. I was trying to figure out how to get glamorous for tonight. My hair was about it. But you look great with the scarf. Is it called a scarf? Is it an ascot?
I think of it as a scarf. It's not an ascot. I just think of it as a scarf.
It's but, a you scarf. Know, and the I, jacket?
No, it's a hockey jersey. That's my new trailblazing thing, is a hockey jersey and a scarf. And I don't... To my knowledge, it's never in the history of anything been done.
I don't think so.
For good reason.
Hi, Des. Hi, Chris.
Hey, it's been good a long to see you time. Again.
How's it going?
Wow. Well, you know, I was just listening to tail end. Well, the conversation you guys were having, I started getting angry all over again.
Right.
I managed to... last week was definitely... I mean, I don't know how many low points we can have, but...
Every day.
Right. So last week I had to turn off the news for a while. Like, I'm usually diving in. I want to be abreast. I want to know what work we have to do. But last week really, really got me. And Dave just sort of made it real to me, like, the idea of watching the debate tomorrow. Like, I really go out of my way not to hear that man talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so... The thing about, you know, and I've said this, if he were just this blustering, idiot, fake billionaire that he's been for how many decades now, if he was still that guy, and of course, we didn't have the knowledge of the many rapes and sexual assaults, I don't know if that's redundant, but... If we didn't know all that stuff, you know, and he just went back to being this dipshit who makes everything gold and we could laugh at him.
Fake gold.
Fake gold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fake gold.
I wouldn't hate the guy. I would just be like, whatever, I don't care. But it's past that. And now it's like he's basically, when he talks, it's like, you're just like, now I see it. Like, this is, and it's just this assholes through the ages and every asshole you've ever known. It's the same thing. Like, I don't even have her name in my brain yet, but this Supreme Court nominee,
Amy something,
Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm like, that's fucking. I know 700 of her.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
But, I mean, so you do know. I mean, I think the last that I've dealt with someone like our current president, I mean, is like a kid in elementary school. Like, I really haven't.
Well,
and I grew up in the South. and I grew up with all kinds of people. I have not dealt with someone as abhorrent as him. I mean, since I was a kid, and even that was...
Well, no, but that's exactly... It's, we're in a global fifth grade, and now everything... That's what I think of it as, like, all of this is, like... And I, you know, fortunately for many reasons, I don't have children. But fortunately for me, and for the, also for the children, and for the world,
for the world,
for everybody, it's better that I don't have children. But I, one thing I've learned from this is like, oh, it's like, you know how when you're a kid, and then also when you, as you get older, and you talk to, you know, your nieces and nephews, and they're like, this, there's this kid at school, he's an asshole, and they explain to you what this kid is like, and you have to say, oh, well, be nice, and he'll grow and change, and they don't, it's like they stay assholes, and these are the fucking assholes from fifth grade. It's the same thing when you're in school and you go to your friend's house after school. And he's like, let's go to Jimmy's house. I'm like, who's Jimmy? He doesn't go to our school. He's like, no, he goes to this other school. I know him. And you go to his house, and his parents let him play with a BB gun. And he's like, you know, and he's got swastikas on his notebooks. You know, I grew up in a different, but there were kids like this.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, yeah. And you think, I don't like this kid.
Yeah.
And, because he's not giving me a single reason to like him. He's a bad kid.
Yeah. See, I actually will say that I have the opposite story. And
okay. I know the okay.
This is,
I know I'm wrong about
it. And you and we all know this. And we all obviously by us, if you can see us together, we are definitely people that usually I definitely am looking out for the outsider, the person that may not seem like they belong. I don't think that this cousin ever belonged anywhere. I don't, this is the first time he's ever thought he fit in anywhere. I don't, I think he's like, but I was gonna say the opposite of this story is I had a bully in elementary school, and it's the only person I can remember that would threaten you to beat you up if you didn't help her on a test, and like was, but otherwise she was charming. Like we really got along. But in those moments, it was scary. She was really tough. She could beat up boys and girls. It's like second, third grade. And crazily, I was telling this story to Jenna Friedman. And the next day, this person that I have not, never been in touch with since second, third grade, friend requested me on Facebook. Mm. And she sent me the sweetest, kindest letter that said, and I think that was all about the microphones or somehow, like, because I said her name and, like, I'm certain that I was suggested to her because of the microphones on our phones.
Oh, and, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, like, out of nowhere. And she sent me the kindest a Facebook message that said I was so nice to her. I gave her a pet rock, and that she always appreciated my friendship, and that she had to leave our school because her parents were getting divorced. And anyway, I feel so good now that I maintained my kindness to her throughout that hard time. But she was going to go down as like the one bully that I really didn't have good feelings towards. But
did she
now acknowledge? I do. She has a family. She's super positive. I don't know. I think she still lives in Tennessee. So just to say.
Yeah.
I hear you, Dave. I hear you, Dave. Jasper would wholeheartedly agree with you. I didn't have friends.
Well, I was going to say, like,
and the, you know, just via my skin color, I get left out of a lot of those conversations.
Oh, where people are like, here, let me show you my swastika notebook. No, I remember being a kid, and this is not me saying like, oh, I've always just been really enlightened, but I remember being really young and seeing this stuff and being like, Dad, like, what the fuck? And my dad, you know, I was like 60 whatever years old, was like, okay, here's the deal. Some people are fucking assholes. He didn't say it like that. He does not talk like that.
Yeah, no, this is true. Well, I wanted to say, just since it was in relation to something you said when we were talking about having these two candidates, and you're right, like throwing, you know, a Green Party vote right now. Like, even the fact that we even have to talk about it, like, I can't imagine why we'd even have to explain that right now, but...
Well, dude, I don't know if you heard the way I was explaining to it. And I you know, I'm more of a blunt battering ram object in the conversation. So I don't know if I really articulated it well, but that's just how I think. September 28th, this close to the election, it's like saying like we're playing roulette. Bet it all on purple.
Yeah,
that's not even the right analogy, but it's just like voting green is not gonna get you. If you have things you want to see happen, and I agree with most of.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that those people must be white, because for the most part, any person of color does not have these thoughts. Like, lives are on the line. Like,
well, that's what
I think. Reality. Of that even being a choice for you is what, such a gift. Like, are you kidding?
It's coming from a place of privilege. And I think, not to upset anyone, but I think it's just like it's ego also. Just the Green Party's views are not progressive enough.
I love
for my tastes,
the teachers. I mean, like, here we're having this conversation, but at this point, you know, my pleas are like, please vote. Like, I'm expressing to people I believe that aren't active enough to make sure that they vote. And then you will get someone that explains to you, like, you do know that there are two sides to this story. And I'm like, where are we in first grade right now? Like, you have to teach me about this right now. But there's so many people that want to be heard based on them instructing you as to how it works, like, over and over. And at this point, that's also a distraction. Like, that's also something, like, I'm like, why are you teaching me? Who are you? Who are you?
Yeah, I just think, like...
But I was just going to say the false equivalency part, the personal note I can add to this is that my sister, firsthand, I would say, like, back when Joe Biden was in the presidential race against Kerry, wasn't that was the last time he ran before? I remember some of his debate performances and I liked them. And I remember... Mm-hmm. Saying, like, I was expressed me liking Joe Biden at that time. And at that time, my sister worked in the Senate and she worked for Ron Wyden of Oregon. And I expressed this to her and she said, well, she said she liked him. She said he during the sessions, he expresses himself like, you know, he was one that talked a lot. That's what mm-hmm. she said. She didn't express a like or dislike, but she wasn't as much into him as I was. Cut to when she worked in President Obama's White House and she was deputy cabinet secretary. And then she was also legislative director in his Senate. She worked closely with Joe Biden. And so, you know, and maybe I talked to you about this before, Dave, but I asked her firsthand, I said, can you give me, you know, what your assessment is of personal reasons why, you know, you should vote for Joe Biden? And right away, and she's a busy woman, right away she gave me a list. And there were things that I remember. I remember her going to the Gulf with him for the oil spill and helping do that. Like, she started working with him. Mm-hmm. I remember Sandy Hook and her going there with him. I remember, and then we talked about, you know, the Violence Against Women Act. It's like things that are not even like a morsel of the bit and fiber of this person that he doesn't even understand, like the man that's current, the president. The idea that there's this false equivalency, like, oh, he's not with it, or all this stuff, it makes me so angry because it's not true. This is a man that's a good man. And based on that, just alone, of my sister, I think is one of the smartest and best people I know. So perhaps mm-hmm. I'm biased that way. But for her to just all hands on deck say, like, no, this is an excellent choice for president. It's not that we have the lesser two evils. And the idea, like, when we talk about our progressive agenda, that's the work that we should always be doing. And that should have been done before we even elected our candidate. Like, that's
Absolutely no chance of getting there with the current administration. So exactly. Yeah.
So let's like continue that work if that's what we need to do. But the idea that we'd say yay or nay based on this puritanical test that doesn't, no one has ever filled those shoes. What are they talking about? It's like I'm fired up.
Well, no,
it's just such a false equivalency. It's such a waste of time for anyone to ever say that. I've cleared that up now with lots of our friends. And I was like, no, this man is together. He gets it. Yeah, he's older, but he's got amazing people around him. There's no part of him. He may not be like pulling out his gun as fast as, like, I don't know who, Chuck Norris. Does he pull out a gun?
We can only assume. But also,
I mean, it's just like, he's really a smart, really good man.
Yeah. And, you know, there's this argument I'm seeing people, you know, Green Party people saying, like, oh, well, you must, I'm so much more progressive than you if you want Biden. Makes no sense.
Can they tell me what they've accomplished and what they're trying to accomplish and how they can do that without Joe Biden? Like,
yeah, exactly. You don't get it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, you know, basically, like, it's all making little bits of progress, and that little bit of progress going right now
is
to have Biden.
Under Obama and Biden, the EPA, all of the environmental work, I even know scientists that worked for the EPA that were fired immediately when Trump took office. They couldn't do work such as get lead casings out of water, like work to just make sure our water's not poisonous. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. There you go, Green Party. There's one. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we have actual people that want to save the environment work for the EPA instead of people that want to demolish it.
I know, yeah.
That's what I don't get. It's like, I don't think any Green Party politician has ever even sat in a Senate seat. So it's like, you want to become president, but you don't like start a little bit further down. And it's like every 4 years, it's just this one Green Party candidate you haven't heard from in 4 years.
Was Jill Stein Green Party? What was she?
I think she was.
She was. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And she has so much of our money. No one knows where that went. There you go.
Cancun. We went to Cancun.
Well, can I, on a positive note, something that's helped me get through this past week was, did you see the documentary, My Octopus Teacher? Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
No? Yes?
I did see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You guys. I'm telling you. It makes it clear why nature, you know, is obviously this pandemic has made us understand the importance of trees and birds and water, because it's one of the only things that can bring you like peace. But this documentary is so good. It's this man that dives every day he lives in South Africa, but he starts a friendship with an octopus, and every day he visits this octopus, and he takes footage every day from it's literally from when it's a small octopus. I'm not going to give you the ending, but he goes through like sharks attack this octopus. There's all kinds of craziness, but it's also a beautiful love story. And it makes me feel calm now when I start thinking about it, when I get like furious about the state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you should watch it. You got to watch it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. My Octopus Teacher. It sounds like it would be like a horror film perhaps, or, you know, but it's actually a very sweet story.
I saw a little bit. I don't, maybe this is giving away, but the octopus was hiding really well.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. There's so many highs and lows. It's like, it's a thriller. It's a thriller. You guys have to see it.
I love. Yeah. I stopped. They're so smart.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, they're so smart.
I don't eat those octopuses.
I'm not going to anymore. I didn't tell Jasper, I'm not eating octopus anymore.
Kim's on that fence now too. After
they're watching. Too smart.
She can't do it.
I haven't had octopus in years because they just know too much.
They do.
So it's.
I promise you, you would definitely. I know you how you are with your dog. You love your daughter. Octopus are like dogs.
They are. They're great. But you know, even hearing myself say that though, like to be like, oh, they're too smart to eat. That's kind of a bullshit argument. To then go like, oh, well, eat the dumb animals.
True.
You should just kind of go. I realize I'm a hypocrite by still eating some.
Yeah.
You know, some poultry and some fish.
Who isn't a hypocrite? That's just, you know, you don't have to operate.
Probably, I don't know, Ian MacKay or somebody. I don't know.
That was a good one to pick out.
Probably, right?
We were talking about Fugazi yesterday, Jasper and I. And we were remembering, like, I don't know when the last time they toured, but remember their shows were like $5 for like decades.
Yeah. And they were always so great, and there would almost always be guaranteed that the show would stop and Ian MacKay would yell at people, but like in sort of a way where you're like, he's right. But I remember thinking like that like, oh, these guys just have their shit together. They're in every possible way.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he'll mind me telling the story. As I tell it, I'll maybe censor it. I don't think I need to though.
Tell it.
But I was doing our friend John F. O'Donnell was a few years ago, a hilarious comedian, was taping a special in Washington, D.C., and he asked me to open for him at these. He was doing two shows, and the director was Brendan Canty, the drummer for Fugazi, and Mastetics, and one of my favorite drummers ever, and the nicest, super nicest guy in the world, and just the best guy. But that was actually, I think, the first time I ever met him. And I was like, oh, it's Fugazi. It's one of these guys that are perfect, and they don't do everything they do is perfect. Because I thought that since I was like a teenager. And then, so we did the first show, and John did such a great job. And so we were doing the next one. So I was talking to Brendan, and I said, oh, like, that was such a great show. This next one is just gravy. And he said... He didn't hear me. He said, what? You eat gravy? And my head right away went to like, oh shit, this is the Fugazi guy, and he's about to give me shit for eating gravy because it's made from beef. And I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble with Fugazi already. How did I do this? And then so I'm like, I have to smooth things over. So I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with him and tell him what my diet. And so I'm like, oh, you know, actually, Brendan, I don't eat gravy anymore. I stopped. I don't eat mammals, and I eat poultry and some fish. And that's it. And he's like, why are you telling me that? He's, you know, he's looking at me like, oh, okay. And
zero recollection, right?
He's just kind of like, okay, whatever. And so I was like, what about you? You're vegetarian, vegan, or what? And he's like, no, I eat everything. And I was like, what? I'm assuming he wouldn't mind me saying this. And he was just like, yeah, I've been vegetarian or vegan, but like, you know, if you have kids and cooking, you know, say, I just kind of eat it. And I was like, oh, what? I was like so nervous.
Did he follow up with anything? Did he?
I think he just thought I was crazy for talking about gravy so much. But no, he's the nicest, best.
Well, I was just,
I hope he doesn't mind me.
I was thinking that definitely as fans, like it was such a gift to go to such a fantastic show and have such a low, you know, price to get in. Mm-hmm. But then as performers, it's like as we continue to play, it sort of set the bar low. Like musicians, for the most part, I mean, unless you're like one of the top 10 performing artists in the country, like for the most part, I've noticed musicians really are a bargain. Like it is not much to see a good band.
Yeah, it's a weird,
and like, I don't know if they started that for us, but it also causes us to never really cash in.
I think, you know, I think I have all these like things from playing, from being a Gen X rocker, that I have all these things in me that are influenced by that, where like,
that's what I
hate setting ticket prices, and it makes me so nervous to make it too high, even though I'm like, oh, I could probably make it this amount, and no one would even think about it, and I would make this much more money, and that would be cool.
That's what I think.
And but then you're just like, I don't.
We're stunted, you know, from that.
So instead, I'm like, well, couldn't I pay everyone for coming?
Yeah.
You know, like, what if I were to pay everyone, set the price, and that's what I will pay everyone to show up.
I will pay for the place. Okay, yeah. Yes. And that's exactly where our conversation went yesterday. I was like, I think the disservice is that we've never valued, like, we get nervous about valuing our art, you know?
Yeah, and there's this, like, this thing, that when I see, I'm so jealous of people that don't, and they're usually younger, who are just like, let's charge $1 million and I want to be carried in on everyone's shoulders because I've been doing this for a year. I have paid my dues. But you know, there is something to be said for that. Like, I don't want to say the people that were being
Well, the thing was, when Fugazi, like, let's say, how many years do you think that, what was the span of, like, every year they would tour? Was that 12?
I don't know.
It's like a good 15 years, I think.
15 years, right? So for 15 years, if you ever played in that time frame, you had that as a standard that you sort of had to meet. So you already are like, oh God, well, you see Fugazi for $5 or whatever, $8. Yeah, so okay, let's make the hype be $8.
Yeah, and then
you cut it to 10 years later and you're charging $10 and you feel like, oh my God. I mean, That's a 25-year span where you're going $8 to $10.
Yeah, and then I see people just charging for, like, this money where I'm like, oh, that's what it should cost, but I could never ask for that. But
you should.
I should. When this pandemic's over, I'm just really going to try to fleece everybody.
Oh, but that was what I that's where I went with the Fugazi. At first it was like, what awesome shows. And then, damn, they stuck us with this, like, you know.
But I think that was the idea, though, is that I remember reading an interview with Ian MacKay, and he was like, well, $5, like, we can suck for $5. Like, the pressure's, we're obviously going to try to be good, but, like, if it sucks, no one can be like, what the fuck? I paid $5. It's like, hey, you paid $5.
So what did they pay the opening band? There's always an opening band, like.
I don't know. I think they just, like, I don't know. I think it all worked out. Somehow it all worked out.
How are you doing without, you know, the band playing?
Without rocking and doing comedy? I think anything. I talk about this a lot and probably have on this show, but I think any performing, I hate the idea of performing or really doing anything, except when it's happening, and then afterwards I'm like, oh, I'm glad that was fun, I'm glad I did it. But leading up to doing anything,
anything, like, not even quite performing, I mean, no, during the pandemic, anything, even texting someone,
yeah, you're just like, oh,
like, oh god.
But
yeah, the first month I was completely out of it, like, I just wasn't. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to shut my brain off for a little bit.
Chris, that's good, though. Just the month? Just the first month?
I think I'm still, I don't know, I go through waves where it's like, I'll spend 3 days just being like, what's the point? Because, like, you know, it's all going to, it's just going to get worse again.
Yes.
I know, and then you go like, well, I should do something really amazing.
I'm going to write that novel.
I should, yeah, like, and then you go on Instagram and, like, if someone's like, oh, look, I just sold this web series. We get $1 million an episode, and it's this thing I just came up with on the fly about social distancing, or whatever.
I'm definitely and all this not stuff. Looking for those people's stuff. I have not seen that stuff, which is, you know.
Or maybe it's on Quibi.
Okay.
My new thing is I'm just going to start talking to people about Quibi. No, just because it's fun to say and I just see ads for it. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I know it's a thing.
Well, this is.
And I'm sure there's great stuff.
This would be the only type of, for me, honestly, it's like reconnecting with people I like. What's going on? This is the only thing that I've liked to do during the sun. I don't care, like, I don't, anything that's like popular, I don't know, when I say popular, like, if it, New York Times is telling you should do it, I don't care, like, I just, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not interested in the regular routine, here's what's happening. I just am not. In fact, it makes me move.
Oh, I know. That's what I think. The more I hear about, like, there's all these great things you can do. Just go out and with your mask and just definitely stay this distance or a lot of people are going to die. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to stay home and drink with the lights off. My new thing is I want to get a medically induced coma.
Whoa.
And get taken out of it in, like,
wow.
Can you do that, like, on demand?
I don't think. I'm sure someone.
How long do you want to go down for?
A year, 2 years. Wow. I don't even know. No, I don't know. I probably don't really want to do that, because then you would have to wake up to the shock of, like, what it would happened? Be one of two things. Would be far worse than you could ever imagine, or people would be like, Dave, why did you have them put you under for a year? We've been, everything's been fine for like 6 months now. And we wanted to take you out on this tour, but you you were in a coma. And but
well, are you, do you feel like you're, I mean, I think the only thing that I constantly think about is what I can, what can I do to help in terms of making sure people are voting, or, you know, what can I do from home? Because I'm not canvassing or, that's the only thing that I'm like, okay, I can do it. And even leading up to it gets, so I've been, doing the voter protection hotline, Democratic voter protection hotline. And I gotta say, you know, I have talked to many amazing people that have been waiting for their mail, absentee ballots, figuring out where their polling places are, like on the ball from all these swing states. And it's really uplifting. And you're also helping people that, you know, there are a lot of people that don't have computers. They're not computer savvy. So you have to help them.
My dad.
Right. You know, so they need a phone number where their local election board is. And there are ways that everyone can help. This is just to say that there are, because I feel like this to the election is like our waiting game right now, where we're all like, okay, what, blah, you know, so that seems like.
I didn't know early voting in New York starts like last week of October. So I'm going to I'm just going to do that in person.
Oh, is it? It's I thought it had already started.
You can vote your, you can do your absentee mail-in vote, but if you want in person, you can go October 24th start.
But it might be a different polling site than your usual site. So you have to check online before you go.
Yeah.
I have an ignorant question. I think I know the answer to this, but you know, they have the drop boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot drop a ballot from another state. Like I can't drop my New York ballot off at the Ohio drop box.
Heck no.
That's what I thought. That's I just wanted to hear it. I just wanted to hear it from someone who had, because I Googled, I thought I knew the answer and I Googled it and could not find the answer.
In Virginia, you must drop it in your county's drop box. You can't even just be a Virginia drop box. It has to be your county.
The county that you vote in.
Mm-hmm.
Then how did this, because the whole thing with the absentee ballot is like you're not around.
I know.
Well, you could still mail it in.
You still mail it in. Yeah. But if you're one of
you
the
could, people,
They're going the extra yard for this.
Yeah. With the post office stuff.
Yeah, I think voting in person, if you can early, and if you, you know, of course, on election day, that's just your best bet.
Yeah.
To make sure that Trump doesn't claim like, oh, look, I was winning. And then the next day they count all the votes and it's like, oh, they stole it away from me.
Well, now, he'll do that no matter what.
True. I mean, but
that's not an insight that I had. I've heard I heard a million people say it. Now I've just repeated it.
He pretty much says it.
Which is what I do.
But also, if you, I mean, to me in New York, if you vote now through your absentee, if you've got your ballot, like we do in New York, a lot of us have them so quickly.
Yeah, I got mine.
I have no qualms with them counting that vote before, you know, the count of midnight, November 3rd. But if you are not in hand with an absentee, like Chris just said, best bet to go in early. Probably won't have a line.
Yeah, I mean that's a. I'm concerned that it's not going to show up, and then just going to have to drive on back to New York City and vote like a mofo.
I did.
And get clean underwear. That too, which I need to do. To be fair,
I did do a. Text banking thing, and obviously, like, everyone's being bombarded with texts. So I'm always nice to anyone that either I don't respond or I'm nice to someone. I did one for NextGen, which I think is like a climate change organization. And when I say that, that's what they, but this was for the election. I did Florida. Oh my gosh. I mean, I would say I got like out of 600 texts, 60 responses, I would say like 40 Trumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
And these are for young people, 18 to 34.
Just out of how many people?
Well, out of, I say I got a 10% response out of 600. So it's like
right. 60
people and then 40. So because that was just emailing the masses, right? Texting the masses. You had no idea, you know, outside of age.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, you know, you need the reality checks in place to
mm-hmm. now
you do the work.
I got some texts today, mm-hmm. and some texts. And is that someone actually just from their phone?
You do it. No, there's like all these different platforms on a computer for different, okay. you know, organizations. Like Biden campaign has something for that one. I use, there's one called Hustle that I use for the census. And that was really effective to help make sure people fill out their census. Everyone was so nice. It responded. There's different platforms. And then you don't use your phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just didn't know if it was just someone sitting there. Text, just firing off some texts. I don't know if I trust. Yeah, okay. So that's good to know because if I hypothetically were doing it, I just don't trust myself. I would just start being like,
oh, yeah.
By the way, I'd give them like album recommendations and then be like, also.
Yeah, no, it's hard. You have to be kind, even when you get some like obscene responses. It's
yeah, no, I think that's good. and did not give album recommendations.
Yeah. I mean, even that, like, what is an album recommendation? You have a new one right now?
I never recommend it, but I do, yeah. No, I just had one come out Friday. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
What was it?
No, I just tell people to listen to Lana Del Rey.
My niece.
I think that seems like a good answer. That's a good answer, right?
Oh, yeah, that is. My 14-year-old niece visited during this pandemic, and she was very kindly requesting to listen to Lana Del Rey she was here for 4 days, so 3 out of the 4 days. And yeah, we did it. I'm not gonna stop her.
I gotta get it. Elvira Canaveral says plug our stuff. I'm gonna do it. So good, yeah. My band Painted Doll had a new album out Friday, and everyone should get it or I'll freak out.
It's really
on our
good.
Band camp.
I'm not just saying that. It's excellent.
What's it called?
Oh, that's awesome.
Called the band is Painted Doll. It's called How to Draw Fire.
Nice.
Whoa, that sounds intimidating. I like
it
that.
Does, but you know, I shouldn't admit things like this, and I don't think I have anywhere yet. But the way we came up with that title is literally like I was, you know, because I and this is a long time, well, I don't know, not a long time ago, sometime in the last year or two, I was just at home drawing and I wanted to I was drawing fire for some reason, and I was like, I think I know how to draw fire, but how do I draw fire? So I just Googled how to draw fire, and then I was like, oh, I like that, I'm going to remember that, because I'm like, it sounds like it means a lot more than the completely
oh my God, I love
literal.
I love that story, because
yeah.
Where I was when hearing that title, and then now imagining you Googling how to draw fire and how sweet that is.
Well, because I thought it was way more evocative than obviously the completely simplistic meaning, or just very basic on the nose thing, where I was like, how do I draw it? I think you make it flamey. And
I'm excited to hear it.
And but then I always like the painted doll covers I draw, and I try to draw them really fast, like I'm in the back of a classroom, and
there's one around?
Like I have 45 minutes.
Can you show us one?
It's funny you ask. There's one across the room. I could get it.
Yeah, get it. I want to see.
And in the meantime, in the time that it takes me to do that.
Yeah.
Jimmy from Carney should call so we can get a song out of him tonight.
Oh,
I'm tangled. I'll be right back. This might be a huge letdown.
Jimmy's already on hold, so.
Oh, he's there. Look at that.
It'll be great.
Oh, God. Jimmy, I remember him singing last time. He's talented.
Here's the album cover.
You can rely on him for sure.
Ooh, that is so good. Wow.
There it is.
Dave, that is so fantastic. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
That is so excellent.
And I want to thank Danny Hellman. Gave me some color guidance.
Wow, it's so good. I can't wait to listen. What has it got? 12 tracks?
It's got 12.
12?
12 songs.
Recorded pre-pandemic?
Yeah, we recorded it like a long time. Summer before this past summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we get them pretty far in advance. We like to get them done in case a pandemic comes down the pike.
I'm psyched.
So, Shanali, do you find, I find, as I crawl towards death, it takes so long to get anything done. Like albums, you do them and you're like, let's just do it really fast. We'll do it just like we did when we were 22. We'll just get together and do it. And then it doesn't matter. It takes forever. From when you first show up and be like, here we go, to when it finally comes out, somehow, no matter whatever your intentions are.
Is it because you care more? I wonder, because I don't think my first album, we spent 4 days. I think we spent 3 days in the studio, bam, put it out. And I don't think I would ever have put out that album at any other stage in my career. And I value what we did, you know, and people liked it then. But when I listen to it now, I'm like, wow, that's cool that I had the guts to release music like that. Just bam, you know?
I think I don't know. I mean, it could be argued that everything I do is horrible, and there's a part of me that believes that, but I will say the things that I've labored on very hard, and the things that I just kind of like, just get it done.
Yeah.
I don't know if the quality level varies that much.
I agree. I mean, I say that not about you, about me. Like, actually, that has been my challenge during this pandemic just recently. I started using the interface with my GarageBand to just fully record a song, like by myself. I haven't done that in so long, you know, mm-hmm. other than just making tracks for us to rehearse to, you know. But I made a track. I've now just done two, and like one every other week. And the first one I did, I really liked. And like, I left mistakes in there, and like, I was surprised. And the goal, I did it in a day and a half. And I even made a video within one of those days.
Oh, nice.
So I'll send it to you. But
please do.
Yeah, everybody. You can actually find it on YouTube under my name. It's called I'll Be Your Therapy.
Oh, excellent. Everyone go. Chris, do we have a link we could put in the... I don't know how technology works.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pull it up.
Put it in the chat.
In there. And it's like
put it in the chat.
All footage after the pandemic, like, well, right from the beginning of the pandemic, during the pandemic. It was meant to chill me out and chill my friends out.
That's good.
Jimmy here.
Should we talk? Let's check in with Jimmy really quick because we only have 3 minutes left, and then my dog will shit in front of me.
Jimmy, you there?
Hey, Dez, how are you, man?
Good, Jimmy. You're on.
Hey, Jimmy, you're on with Shanali.
Hey, Dez, how are you? How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Dez. Hi, Chris. Hey, Shanali.
Hi, Jimmy.
Good seeing you again. You look great.
Thank you. Good hearing your voice.
Oh, you're too kind. So, Dave, I really thought that, I know I'm repeating myself, but I did put a post up. I thought that that painting, and I didn't know Danny Hellman had a hand in it, but that painting around the mirror of the...
Oh, no, not that. He didn't...
Bag or the heart, if you will.
Oh, thank you. No, I was, when I mentioned Danny, I was talking about he had some color advice for the album cover.
Well, that's collaboration, even if it's a small amount.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, ironically, he went somewhere in Europe and he took a picture of Saint, it's anglicized to Saint Eustace, and the deer or the stag or the heart. With the
okay, got you.
Christ in between the antlers. That's why I thought that the star.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood. Okay, now I'm gonna have to
Christ
go through. Figure. I'll have to go
like
through
Christ figure
Instagram.
In between those antlers. So see Saint Eustace and Ridley Walker, these science fiction novel from 1980, which is in Bloom's. Western canon.
All right.
Little known gem, but it's a masterpiece.
But that
masterful painting and photograph made me think of that.
Oh, well, I'll go check that out later. But, you know, Jimmy, we are almost out of time, and I hate, you know, whenever you call in, has anyone heard the show before as well?
Take up time, but
if you could just give us just you have the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Everyone knows,
please.
That could you just give us
maybe
taste.
Sally can put a good word in for me somewhere, like
I'll do it.
Up singing.
Oh, for sure.
No, post pandemic,
spend the rest of my life, which is probably 8-10 years, as a lounge singer if I could.
I think, but you got more years right. Than that.
I'm going to go old school. I know I've done this a lot, but I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to try to go with something familiar. So, okay, this is to Shanali's beautiful visage.
Aww.
Let me put the phone out a little bit. Someday, when I'm awfully low.
Aww.
And the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of.
What happened?
Jimmy, that was
Jimmy.
So wonderful.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
We're still, these phones are wonky. We're out of time, Jimmy. So I would say call, give us a call next week.
That was fantastic.
Shanali, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me. Good to see you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Shanali. Always a pleasure.
Everyone go check out Shanali's single and video.
Thank you.
On YouTube tonight.
Thank you.
Or tomorrow, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, whenever you feel like it.
And can they download it, stream and all that?
Yep. I tried to deal with what you were just saying, like how things take longer, and I was like, I got to do this quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Get it out there.
Do it. Got to do it.
I like that. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us for Hot Times.
Take care of yourself. Be safe, everyone.
Thank you, Dez.
Got it.
Thank you, Chris. What? How does this work now, Chris? You're the brains behind the operation. Does
I can just cut the stream whenever.
You cut the stream.
Yeah.
So you bring the music up.
Bring it up.
You sort of. Okay, cut the stream.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.